The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha's Baalei Sicha. At the end of the Parsha, we have the episode where Aaron and Miriam speak against Moshe. They criticized him behind his back, they slandered him. And the Torah, the Parsha, goes into that story of what took place. But meanwhile, it states that even though they criticized Moshe, and they perhaps also insulted him, it states in Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Gimel, Vayish Moshe Onov Mi'ed. Moshe was very, very humble. Mikol Odom Asher Al Pnei HaAdama, from every man that was on the earth. In other words, Moshe was the most humblest man living. And what does this have to do with this episode? So Rashi explains, Shofel V'Sablon. Shofel V'Sablon, this means that he was tolerant of personal insult and injury. Last year, at this time, we gave a shiur on the anivus, the quality, the midah of anivus, of humility. And we spoke on one aspect of it. And that's what the Mesilas Yesharim calls in Perek Chof Beis of the Mesilas Yesharim, Bir Midos Anova, he says that's Mido, that's Anova B'daitoi U'machshavtoi, that a person has to be humble in his own mind. And then there's a second aspect, and that's Mitzad Maisva V'Anogosoi, that he has to be humble in his actions and conduct. He says the two aspects are necessary, because naturally a person has to be humble in his conduct and his actions. But first he must be humble in his own mind and his own thoughts, because otherwise, and he writes, This is exactly what he writes. Ki b'tchila tzorech shi'ah ha'adam onav machshavtei va'achakach yisnaig b'darkei ha'anovim. First he must be humble in his own mind, and then he can conduct himself in the way of humble people. Kim lo yi'ah onav b'daitei, because if he's not humble in his own mind, b'yirtzeh liyais onav b'maisho, and he wants to be humble in his conduct, lo yalamin ha'anovi mamadumim, he will be what we would call, it would be a fabrication. He would be someone who is humble, not legitimately, be a phony. V'haroim shesochanu lamalo, shehem mechlal hatzivuim, and he would be included in what is known as sivuim. Tzavuim, there was an animal called a tzavua. That tzavua was probably a chameleon. And that tzavua is an animal that could change colors. So he would be someone who would change colors. He'd act one way, but in his thoughts, he's really arrogant. Asherin ba'elam ramehem, which he says this is the worst type of person. So, last year we went into anivus mitzad machshavtei, humility from the aspect of one's perspective, from his own mind and thoughts. This evening I would like to go into the second aspect, and that is what he writes, humility in one's conduct and in one's actions. For those interested, they could get a hold of the tapes from last year's shiur, and they can listen to those also, to that also. That was also on this Pasha's Baalei Sicha Wednesday night. Before we go into it, though, I would like to mention two great principles in regards to humility. Firstly, we have the Braiso of Rav Pinchas ben Yoyo, which actually the Mesillas Yeshorim is built on. His whole sefer is to explain that Braiso. Now that Braiso is brought in the Gemara in Aveda Zora Davchof Amun Beis, and it's also at the end of the Mishnah Masechta Seita. Siddur Shishoim brings it in his Hakdoma, near the end of his Hakdoma, and it states as follows: Amar Rav Pinchas ben Yoyo. Rav Pinchas ben Yoyo said, Torah may be l'idei zihirus. A person who studies Torah, that brings him to carefulness. Zihirus may be l'idei zrizus. Carefulness brings one to enthusiasm. Zrizus may be l'idei nekius. Enthusiasm brings one to cleanliness. Nekius may be l'idei precious. This will bring one to a higher level of abstinence. Abstinence will bring him to tahara. Tahara is purity. Tahara will bring him to kedusha, to sanctity. Kedusha may be a lidei. Then there's a question here of the proper text. Kedusha will bring him to anova, to humility. Anova, humility, will bring him to yiras chet, to the fear of sin. The fear of sin will bring him to a higher level of chasidus, saintliness. Chasidus will bring him to Ruach HaKodesh, to the level of a sanctified spirit. Ruach HaKodesh brings him to Tchias HaMesim, to the level of Tchias HaMesim, where the dead live again. So he lists all of the levels that a person can grow one to the other. And then the Gemara comes along and says, Chasidus Gedele Mikulim. What is the highest level? The highest level is Chasidus. That's we say saintliness. That actually means a person who does everything in its utmost totality. He serves Hashem. Upligi Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Rabbi Shua ben Levi has a different opinion. He says, Anova Gedele Mikulim. Humility is the greatest level. So from here we see how great humility is. Because after all of this, we have a dispute in the Gemara, two opinions. What is the highest level that man can attain? And one says Chasidus, saintliness, and the other says Anova, humility. Second principle of the uniqueness of humility, the Rambam brings in Hilchas Deis, Perek Beis. After he tells us that when it comes to all of the qualities, all of the particular personality traits and character traits of a person, he writes that we should not go to an extreme, but always the middle road. We shouldn't be too stingy. On the other hand, we shouldn't be a squanderer. We shouldn't be a person who's always folly, lightheaded. On the other hand, you shouldn't be a person that walks around depressed, and so forth. Then he writes that even though this is the golden rule, that a person should always go b'derech emsoi, in the middle path, he says there are one or two exceptions to this. And in these unique cases, he's obligated to go to the opposite extreme. And he lists two. The one that we're interested now in is Geva Lev, arrogance and humility. Shein derech ha-tevi shiyo odom onom bilvad. It's not sufficient that a person should be just humble. Ele shiyo shfal ruach v'tiyo ruchay namuche l'ma'od. But he has to be very, very humble. And his proof is from the Pasuk, this Pasuk that we just read. Lefichok nemba b'meisha rabbeinu onef mi'ayd v'leino onef bilvad. States that Moshe was onef mi'od. He was very, very humble. It doesn't say he was just humble. And it praises it. Therefore, the Chachomim commanded, mi'od, mi'od, hevish falduach. There, a person should go to the extreme when it comes to humility and be misrachek, distance himself from arrogance to the utmost. So, we see the importance here of humility. Incidentally, a number of years ago, I gave a shir, I believe it was on this parsha, to explain that even though one is obligated to be extremely humble, this is not contradictory, but we have to understand why. But that's what we went into in that shir. This is not contradictory to a person's self-esteem or self-worth. Doesn't mean that a person has to look at himself as if he's nothing. It's also one is not allowed to do. But that we went into, as I mentioned, in that other shiur. All right, so now that we understand the importance of the humility, I'd like to go into this perspective. And that is, what are a person's actions and conduct supposed to be in regards to Hanhogas Anova, in regards to humility? The Mesilas Yesharim goes at length, talks at length in this, again in Perek Chof Beis, and we will quote a number of things from him. Firstly, he says that this is divided up into four sections. The four sections is his conduct, his everyday conduct must be humble. Secondly, sivleis ha'albeinis, the ability to tolerate insult. Thirdly, bishnei harabonis v'reach min hakovet, where he detests and distances himself from honor and from positions of honor and runs away from honor. And fourthly, lachle kovet lakol, he gives honor to others. These are the four categories that the Mesilas Yesharim divides us up into. Let's go through some of his examples. When it comes to Hanhogas Ashiflus, that his everyday conduct must be in a humble manner, he says this encompasses the entire person's actions and conduct. For example, Diburei, his speech. The sages say, whenever a person speaks to someone else, he must always speak kindly to him. He shouldn't speak in an insulting manner to him. He shouldn't speak down to him. He says the source for this is in Keheles Perek Tes. Divrei Chachomim benachas nishmoim. The words of the Chachomim are heard because they are spoken kindly. The type of speech when he communicates with a person should be in an honorable fashion. Whoever you speak to, you should speak to honorably. not divrei bezayin, not in an insulting manner. Here we have a number of sources from Mishlei. In Mishlei Yud Aleph and in Mishlei Yud Ches. It states, Boz l'reihu chasar leiv. He who is insulting to his friend, this is a person that lacks understanding and heart. Or it states, Bevei rosha bo gambus. When you associate yourself with bad people, with evil people, then you should know there'll be insults there also. The Rishoyim, the evil people, or people that do not have understanding, they speak in an insulting manner to each other or to others. The Chachomim, those who are wise, they never speak in an insulting manner, but they speak kindly to each other. This is in regards to speech. Mentions here Halicho also, when one walks, he has to walk in a humble manner. B'shiftei, where one sits. In Mishlei Chof Hei, it states, Mishlei Chof Hei, Posuk Vov. Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon writes, he says, Al tisadeh lifnei melech, uvimkeim gdeilim al tamod. Rashi says, Lahara is kevet kodis goyis lifnei mishu godl mimak. When you're in the presence of big people, of great people, don't try to make a showing. Don't try to get a seat near important people where really you don't belong. Don't try to stand amongst those people who are greater than you, where you really do not belong. It is far better that they should say to you, come up front, than to say to you, go back. You don't belong here. In other words, a person should always take a seat a little less than a stature, rather than a little more than a stature. The Medrash in Vayikra Rabbah, Perek Aleph, says as follows: Harchek mimkeim choshnayim ushleishim mekomais voshev. When you come to sit someplace and you feel this is your right place, go back a few rows and sit there. Atshiyem rochu alei, until they tell you, come up closer. Al tale shiyem rochor aid. Do not sit in a place which is above your stature, where they will have to tell you, move back, move down. Another source the Gemara brings in Bamatzia Pehe, Kol Mishe Maktin Atzme Al Divrei Teira Be'Elamazeh Nase Godel Be'Elam Abo. Whoever makes himself small in this world, he will be made great in the next world. The Gemara in Seita, Daf Hei, says, Le'elam Yilmat Odom Midas Kenei. We should learn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sharei Yinia HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kol Horim Ugveis V'Hishra Shechinos El HaSinai. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to put His Shechina in this world and to give His Torah, He chose Har Sinai, which was the smallest of the mountains. He didn't want the highest of the mountains. So this is in regards to the first category, Anogas Atzmei B'Shiflas, that a person must conduct all of his ways and manners with great humility. The second category, Siblais Ha'albeinish. He has to develop in himself an ability to tolerate insult. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Pei Ches, states, Ane Elovim Ve'enam Olbi. Those who allow themselves to be insulted and they do not answer back. Shemim Cherposom Ve'enam Meshivim. When someone shames them, they remain silent. Aleihem Hakosev Ha'emer. And this the Torah writes of them. Hashem says, "Ohavov kitzeis Hashemesh bigvurasoi." They are His beloved ones, and they are as strong as the sun when it rises. See, this is an enormous strength. Actually, this is more difficult than the first category. In the first category, it's just a matter of physical control. Where should you sit? Where should you stand? How should you act? But here it's a matter of emotional control. Someone comes and he insults you. Someone comes and he criticizes you and you feel it's unfair. Someone comes and he shames you. So emotionally you want to strike back. So it takes a very, very great strength to remain silent. And on that the Torah writes, I have of kitzeis Hashemesh bigvurasei. These are Kodesh Baruch Hu's beloveds who are as strong as the sun when it rises in the morning. The Gemara gives a classical example on this. And this is a Gemara we've quoted often. And this is on Hillel HaZaken. The Gemara brings in Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph. Now Hillel was the Nosi. This means that Hillel was the head of the nation. Still it states, Gemara brings, this is at the bottom of Lamer Omed Beis and Lamer Aleph Omer Aleph Toner Rabbanan Leilim Ye Invosom Ki Hillel V'Al Ye Kaptin Ki Shamai. A person should always be humble like Hillel. And he shouldn't be a captain. A captain is someone who is very rigid and strict, like Shammai. He should be flexible and humble like Hillel. Ma'aseh b'shnei b'nei adam. There were two people. She'himoru ze'azeh. Omru kol mi she'yelech yaknit es Hillel yitl dalet me'azuz. They made a way... A wager between them. That if someone can get Hillel angry, then the other one will give him 400 zuz, which was a very, very large amount of money. Omar echon mehem ani ak nitenu. So one said, I will get him angry. Esayim Erev Shabbos. It was Erev Shabbos, Friday. The Hillel chofaf es reisha, and Hillel was in the house, but he was bathing and he was washing his hair. Holach the Ovar al Pesach Beisoy. He went by the house, the door of Hillel's house. Omar Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel. And he said in a very shouted, in a very insulting manner, is Hillel here? Is Hillel here? And Hillel was the Nosi. He was the leader of the nation. Nisati v'yotzeli krosoy. So Hillel wrapped himself up and he went to see him. Amalei benim matam avakish. My son, what do you want? Amalei, he said to him, she'ela yesh li lishum. I have a question to ask. Shal beni shal. So he says, go ahead, my son, ask it. Bibnei ra ma roshehen shal bavloim sigal golesh. Why? It seems that the heads of the Babylonians were not the way they should be. They were a little out of proportion. So this is what he asked. Omalei, so he said to him, Bini she'ela g'deyle sha'alto. He says, that's a very good question. Mipnei she'en lehem chayes pikoches. He says, the reason is because they do not have good midwives. And the midwives are clumsy. So when they're born, their heads are a little out of shape. So he went and he waited an hour, and then he came back. Mikan Hill, this hill here. He sat in Yotzeli Krasa. Again, he wrapped himself up and went out to meet him. And he said, "My son, what do you want?" He says, "I have a question." He says, "All right, ask your question, my son." Ma'enein shol Tamaduyin trutais. Why are the eyes of the Tamaduyin, they are trutais, they're not round, they were more slanted? So he said, "This is a very good question, because Shadori Menacheles, they live in deserts and in sandy places. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made their eyes that way in order to protect their eyes from the sand." So he left, waited an hour, came back again, called out, is Hillel here? And again the same thing happened. Hillel came down. "I have an important question. What is your question?" Why are the feet of the Africans so wide? This is a very important question. Because they live where there's a lot of water. Rashi brings two commentaries on this, two explanations. Either they live in soft ground, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them wide feet so they shouldn't sink in the ground. Or he says, because they live in soft ground, they walk without shoes. And by walking without shoes, the feet become wider. Omalei. Now he said to him, "She'elas harbe yeshli lishol. I have many questions to ask, but I'm afraid that if I ask you too many, you'll become angry." So Hillel wrapped himself up. He sat down and he said, "All the questions you want to ask, ask." He saw he couldn't get him angry. It was Erev Shabbos too. Finally, he told Hillel that he's very upset with him. Because of you, I'm going to lose 400 zoos. So he said, it's better that you should lose 400 zoos than Hillel should become angry. And then the Gemara brings a number of cases later on. Ma'aseh ben Ochri Echod, there was a non-Jew that he came to Shama. That was Hillel's colleague. And he said, "How many Torahs do you have?" And he said, "We have two. We have the written law and the oral law." He said, "I believe in the written law, but I do not believe in the oral law. You megayer me, convert me, on the condition that you will teach me the entire written law." So Shammai became very angry, because the halacha is that a ger, a convert, has to accept the entire Torah. So he took his stick, he was a builder, so he took his measure, and he chased him out. He went to Hillel. Hillel said, "All right." He says, "Come, we'll learn." First day he taught him Ahalav Beis Gimel Dalet. Next day he came back and he reversed everything. On the Aleph he said that's a Beis, and on the Beis he said that's a Gimel. So he said, "Yesterday you didn't tell me like this." So he said, "How do you know which is the right way?" He said, "Because this is what you told me. So you're relying on me. So rely on me also, that the oral law also is true." And slowly, brought him around where he believed in the entire Torah, and he converted him. Another case, a non-Jew came, and he said, into Shammai, and he said, "Teach me the whole Torah while I stand on one foot." So he drove him out. Came to Hillel, and Hillel said, "All right." He said, "Daloch sani lechavrech leisavit. What is hated to you, do not do it to your fellow man. Zui kolaterekula. This is the entire Torah. Idoch perusha. The rest is just commentary. Zil gemara. Go and learn." Another case. There was a non-Jew who was passing by the Beis HaMedrash, and they were learning about the beautiful garments, breastplate, and other garments of the Kohen Gadol. So he asked, "Who does this belong to?" So he said, "They told him the Kohen Gadol." So this non-Jew said to himself, I'm going to convert in order that I should become a Kohen Gadol. He didn't realize he cannot become a Kohen Gadol. Only someone who's from the family of Aaron can become a Kohen Gadol. He came to Shammai and he told him this. Shammai drove him away. He came to Hillel. So Hillel said, all right, fine. But first you have to. Nobody can become a king unless he knows all about the kingship. You have to sit down and study. So he told him to sit and learn. One day he comes across the pasuk that states, Vahazora Korev Yumas, that someone who is not from the tribe of Levi or from the family of the Kohanim cannot come close to the sanctuary. He said, Who is this said about? They told him, even David Melech Israel, even David the king, he's not from the family of Aaron. So he said, this non-Jew said, Israel that are called Bonim Lamokam, they're the sons of Hashem. And even by them it states Azore HaKorev Yumas, that if someone is a stranger, he's not from the tribe of Levi, of the Kohanim, they are not allowed to come close to the sanctuary without suffering the punishment of death. So a convert, that he comes from the outside, how much more so? And he understood this and he accepted it and he became a ger. One day, Liyomim Nizdav Gu Shleishtun, Lamokam Echad. One day, all three of them came together. And they each told the other one their story. And they said, Katnuse Shel Shammai Bikshu Letoranu Min Ha'ilam. The strictness and the short temperament of Shammai wanted to drive us out of the world. In Vesanuse Shel Hillel, the humility and the patience and the flexibility of Hillel, Karabnu Tachas Kanfi Ashkina. He brought us under the Shekhinah close to Hashem. So here's the classical example. It says that a person should always be humble when it, like Hillel. And this was the ability of Sfilas Elbeinus, of being tolerant to insult. Now he goes to the next category. Next category is Sinus Harabonus Ubrichus HaKovet. That a person should not seek fame, he should not seek position, and so forth. We have a mission in Masechet Ovos that states, Eoves HaMelocha Usnoas HaRabonos. In the time of the Romans, and we found this later on in Europe, especially in England, there were the different classes. There was a class known as the nobility, the gentlemen, and then there was a class which was known as the working class. It states, Eoves HaMelocha. Loved the working class. By the gentlemen, it was an insult to them to work. See, they didn't believe in work. Love the working class. And hey, keep yourself away from the nobility. The then it states, a person should not pursue srora. Srora is a position which places him, empowers him over the tzibur, over the community. A communal position. He should not pursue it. If it's given to him, and he is capable of handling that position, then he must take it, because he can do some good for the people. But to pursue it, because he says, look, you get so much coverage, you get so much honor, and you get other things, no, He should keep his distance. The Gemara brings Omar Reb Nachman b'shem Reb Tanchum. Kol ha-mekabel olav srora kedei le'honish mimeno. Whoever accepts a position of power in order for personal benefit, in elekenei fazeh, it compares him to an adulterer. The comparison is a very good comparison. Shunena miguf v'shalisho. What's an adulterer? He is someone who goes after a woman not because he's interested in giving her any commitment, but merely for the pleasure that he can have from her. So someone who goes after the position of power over the people, over the community, not because of commitment to the position and to the people. Takes a governmental position in parliament. Right? Not because of the responsibility and the commitment to the people, but only for the personal benefit that he can derive from it. So that the Gemara compares that to adultery. See? That someone who is a naif shul nena migufa shul isho. Then the Gemara tells us im sochim. The Gemara says im sochim oilei l'rabonus. To have a position of power is not good. Shemekaberes es ba'alecha. Shortens the life of people. An example from Yosef. Why did Yosef die before all of his brothers? It states, Vayomash Yosef. V'chol echo. First he died, then his brothers. B'nei shehini gatzme barabonus. Because he was involved in positions of power over the people. And the Mesillas Yesharim explains also, he says that when a person who accepts a communal responsibility, he must realize that this is a great burden. It's not there because of the honors. This is a great burden. Because as long as he's a plain person, a plain citizen, living together with everyone else, so he's judged in accordance to his own individual circumstances. But once he's elevated over the people, then he becomes responsible for the people. And he's judged in accordance to the people. Because of this also, he says, one must learn not to seek honor for himself. He should even detest honor for himself. I was just reading the other day about the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim was someone who always ran away from honor. He, even when he wrote his famous Sefer, the Chofetz Chaim, that's where he got his name. He didn't tell anyone that he wrote it. No one knew. This is why they referred to him as the Chofetz Chaim by the name of the Sefer, because they never knew who he was. But he used to conceal himself wherever he would go. He would dress like a simple person. He didn't want any honor. But they write on him, the more he ran away from the honor, the more the honor pursued him. But they write on him that when he would receive these honors, he would suffer from it. He would suffer. And he would say, why am I deserving of this punishment? This is how much he detested the honor. The fourth category is always to give honor to others. The Mishnah Novice states, Eise Mechubad Amachaber Es Abriyos. Who is the honorable person? The one who always gives honor to other people. The Gemara in Pesachim brings, Minayin hayudei bechaveru shugodl bimena afilu bedove echod, shechayev lineg bekovet. If you know that your chaver knows even one thing more than you, then you have to give him honor. Even plain people you must give honor. It says, Hevi magdim b'sholom kol odom, in the Mishnah Novus. Actually, Shammai said that. Shammai, who were the kabdonim, still, they said that Hevi magdim sholom lechol odom, that you should be the first to give, to say hello and give offerings, greetings to every, to anyone, before they give to you. It states on the great Rabbi Yechman Zakkai, Shleihigdim le'odim sholem e'elam, v'afilu goy b'shuk. Rabbi Yechman Zakkai used to, could say on himself, no one ever greeted me before I greeted them. This is the way he would honor people. Rabbi Yechman Zakkai was the Gadol HaDor, he was the leader of the generation, in his generation. And he says, v'afilu goy b'shuk. Even a non-Jew in the marketplace, he would greet them first, before they would greet him. Then the Mesillas Yeshurim brings of the great tragedy of the Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva, which just took place during the Sefiras HaEmor, where he had 24,000 Talmidim, disciples, and because they were lay noag u'kovet zelazeh, they did not give the proper honor to each other, came this terrible plague. So these are the four categories of how one should conduct himself. And in summary, he says that the chevres ha'onav no'ead ma'ed. Those people who are humble, to associate with them is very beautiful. Beruach habriyas neichemeno. And people like them. And in those groups of humble people, you won't find anger, and you won't find quarreling or fireable, but I call the hashked, I call the manucha. Everything is with peace and shalom. Ashrei shezeicha l'minuzu. He says, therefore, how fortunate is one who will be zeicha to this quality. There's a gemara in Masechet Horias that the Rambam brings. Once quoted this on the Shabbos. Excuse me, the Mesillas Yeshurim quotes the Gemara, but the Maral gives an interpretation of it. And that is, the Maral is in Perek Hei of the Siva Nova. The Gemara is in Horias. Dafyud. The Gemara says as follows. Tana Rabbanan. Asher nosi yechto. When you have a king and he commits a serious sin, and the sin is b'shegek, the sin is through error, so then he has to bring a korban. There's a special korban, special sacrifice. Prat lemetzera. This comes to exclude a nosi shenitztara. Anosi, a king who became a leper. If he was stricken with leprosy, then no longer, and then he commits such a sin, no longer does he have to bring this special korban. As it states, Vayinaga Hashem es HaMelech, Vayi Metzei Rajei Meisei, Vayeshe Bebeis HaChofshis, Vayosem Ben HaMelech Alabais. It states by by Azaria ben Amacho. He went into the Heichel, he went into the sanctuary, Lahaktir Kteiris al Mizbeach, to bring incense on the Mizbeach, which he was not allowed to, he was not a Kain. And because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu struck him with leprosy. And it states, Vayhi Metzeira Ad Yemesa, he was a leper for the rest of his life, Vayeshev Bebeis HaChofshis, and he went and he dwelled in a separate house, and it was called Beis HaChofshis, a house of freedom, because he became free of the Malucha, became free of the kingship. Yeshem ben Amelech, and his son would conduct the affairs of the nation. So the Gemara says, since someone who becomes a leper becomes free of the kingship, therefore if he would, Ashenosi Yechto, if he would sin, he wouldn't have to bring the special korban, the special sacrifice that a king has to bring. Now the Gemara says this, Beis HaChofshis Mechalal Dar Hashto Evraham. Since it says that he went to dwell in this house, and it calls this house the house of freedom, because he became free of the kingship, this would lead one to believe that till now he was a slave, a servant. Because now he became free. So the Gemara brings, Ki Hod Ram Gamliel Rebishua. Ram Gamliel Rebishua Hava Azli Bisfinto. They both went on a trip, on a boat. Bari Ram Gamliel Hava Pita. Ram Gamliel brought a lot of bread with him for the journey. It was a long journey, so he brought a lot of bread. Bari Rebishua Hava Pita Vesulta. While the Rabbi Shua, he brought bread with himself, and he brought also a sack of flour. Why? Because bread eventually molds. Well, the sack of flour will last indefinitely. Peter and Gamliel, Sholim. Eventually, the trip took longer than expected, and the bread of the Gamliel became consumed. Soma chasul to Rabbi Shua. So he had to rely on the flower of Yibishua. Omalei, mi hava yodata davalon ikuva kulihai. Dasha sulta. So he said to Yibishua, how did you know that this trip was going to take so much longer than expected? And you came well prepared with a sack of flour. Omalei, so he said, because keichav echod l'shivim shona. I happen to know astronomy very well. And there's a particular star. And this star rises once every 70 years. It rises and it changes directions. Actually, the Maral says a whole astronomical explanation in it. And it changes directions. Umate es hasfanim. And it confuses the sailors. Because the sailors always steer their boat in accordance to the stars. They know that this has to be on the right, this has to be on the left. If one night it comes that it's vice versa, they know that the boat has been turned around and is going in the wrong direction. So they turn it back around. But this star comes up once every 70 years. And it can confuse the sailors. And according to my calculations, Yehoshua said, that it's supposed to come up, now's the season for it to come up. So I said, Shema Ye'oleth V'yita Ha'ishonu. And I said, I better take along extra provisions, because it could be that this star will mislead the boat and will be on the journey on the sea much longer than expected. Omalei kol kach biyot chavato eile bisvina. So Reb Gamliel said to Rabbi Shua, he said, you are so wise, you can calculate something like that, and still it's necessary for you to go on the trip. The Maral adds here, you're putting yourself into danger. If you know that this star is going to come up about now, see, putting yourself into danger to take a trip at this time. So still, it's so necessary for you to go on such a trip. Are you that poor? So he was going for Parnosa, for livelihood. He says, how can it be that you're so clever and still you find it necessary at a time like this to go on the ship? Omalei, so he said, Achato Tomalai Tmal Shnei Talmidim. He says, why are you wondering at me? One day there are two Talmidim and two disciples you have, who you left back there, Reb Lezer Chasma and Reb Yechanan ben Gudgido. These two disciples, Shiyedin Lishara Kamatipa Yesh Biyam, they are so clever, they can measure and tell you how many drops of water there are in the ocean. And they are so poor that they don't even have bread to eat or garments to wear. So this is what he brought to them, Gamliel's attention. And Gamliel was the Nossi, he was the leader of the nation. Nossan Daitoi. So Gamliel started to think, he says, I have two Talmidim, two disciples, and they're so clever, and yet they have no Parnoso. So Nossan Daitoi lay Shivan Baroshkish. Yeah, so he decided on the boat that when I get back to land, I will give them positions. I have positions to give. I got plenty of work for them to do. I'll give them positions and they'll have panosho. And these are very capable people, we see. So when he reached land, he sent a message that they should come and see him. Lebo. They didn't come, because they had suspected that he was going to offer them some positions. Some positions, communal or national positions. Choza v'sholach, so he sent a second time to them. Uba'u, this time they came. Omer lehem ki medumim natem shesror ani naisin lochem. He says, from the fact that you were so reluctant to come, evidently you think that I'm giving you a srora, you think that I'm giving you a kingship, see, a royalty, a nobility, and therefore you were reluctant to take the covet. You should know abdus ani nesin lachem. He says, you don't have to worry about this covet. This position is abdus, is servitude. Shenemar vaydabru elov lemor imayem tia eved la'amazeh. As it states that when they anointed this king, they said, now you shall be an eved to this nation. Now you are enslaved to this nation. He says, do not look at a srora, do not look at a public position, even though it might come with a big car and a chauffeur, as a position of honor, and because you want to be bereach min hakovet, you want to run away from the honor, you're reluctant to take it. He says, that's nothing. That's just the frills, it's meaningless. He says, but this position, a public position, is avdus ani nesin lochem. I am giving you servitude, slavery, because you have to serve the nation. Now the Maral explains here, he asks the questions, firstly, why is it servitude? And what does the Gemara mean, asher mosi yechato, that the king will commit a sin? Pratis comes to exclude shenitztaro, where he became a leper. What's the leper have to do with it? And it states that the leper, this king that was a leper, he went and he lived in Bebeis Chofshis, in a house of freedom. He says something very, very profound and very deep. He says, when it comes to public positions, communal positions, especially, this is all the time, especially by Klal Yisrael, he says, were the people created, are the people there to serve the position, or is the position there to serve the people? Were the people created in order that could be the king? Or was the king there for the sake of the people? He says the position was created for the people, for the sake of the people. And the king was created for the sake of the people. So it comes out that they are not a toffel to him, he's a toffel to them. They are not there to serve him, he's there to serve them. He becomes meshuba to them. The smaller the position, the smaller the responsibility. The greater the position, the greater responsibility. where you are a total king, you become a total slave. Because you have to take care of all the needs of the people. And he gives an example. He says the body has many, many different organs. And each organ has its responsibility. And each one has its function. So it has to perform. He says the organ which has the greatest responsibility to the body is the heart. The heart has to bring blood and all the nutrients and purify the oxygen to every part of the body. It's interesting because I will say that if the heart would be able to talk, what would he say? He would say, when do I get my holiday? He never gets a holiday. 24 hours around the clock. See, we always complain, we want a holiday. That would say, when do I get my holiday? He works when you're up, he works when you're sleeping. He works during the week, he works on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. And when you're on holiday, he's working. Now, he says, the smallest organ with the smallest responsibility actually is the freest organ. He has the least responsibility. The greatest organ, the lave is known as the king. See? The greatest organ, the king, he's a total slave. By day and by night, winter, summer, when does he get his holiday? Because he has to serve every part of the body. Now, because of that, that's what Gamliel told his two disciples. He says, Rora ani naisin lakam, you think this is just a case of COVID, of honor, or you'll have some wealth from it, and therefore you're reluctant to take it. That's nothing, that's the small things. I'm giving you responsibility, I'm giving you important positions. So it's Avdus. You will become slaves day and night. And that's the essence of a king. The greater the king, the greater the country, the greater the nation, the larger the nation, the more slave he is. Now, he says everyone, every individual has an element of shibut, of enslavement. Because when you live in a society, you have responsibilities and commitments to each other. Family members have commitments to each other. Neighbors have commitments to each other. So people that dwell in the same city have commitments to each other. So everyone has some commitments to each other. So everyone has an element of servitude. We would call it responsibility. Who's the one that's totally free? The one that's totally free is the leper, is the Metzera. Because by the Metzera it states, Bodod Yeshev Michutz Lemachane Meshove. The leper is not allowed to live with people. He's not allowed to associate with people. Borod Yeshev, he has to dwell in isolation. Michutz Lemachane Meshove. He has to dwell outside of the camp. He is Nibdal. He's separated. So being that he's not allowed to associate with people, he cannot have associations, he has no responsibilities to others. That's why it states that this Melech went and he lived in a Beis HaChofshish, in a house where he was free. So the Gemara is saying that since it says Asher Nosi Yechato, that when the king sins, he has to bring a particular korban. There cannot be a greater antithesis to a king than a metzera, than a leper. because the king is the one who's meshuga to the whole nation. He is responsible for the whole nation, each and every one. While the leper is not responsible to anyone. So therefore it states, Prat le Metzera, this comes to exclude the Metzera, Shechofshi min ha-Malchus, but he is totally free of that. This is a very, very deep and profound explanation in that Gemara. At any rate, from here we see, the Mesillas Yeshayim says, this is the explanation when it comes that one has to be Sneasar Avonis, he has to be Bereach min ha-Kovet. And if one does take a position like that, that's only because of the commitment to the position, the commitment to the responsibility. Then he has to take it, then he should take it, like the Gamliel was demanding from the others. But otherwise, if he takes it only for a person, what he can gain from it, then he says, then he's like an adulterer. These are the four categories, and this is in the perspective, like we mentioned at the beginning, that last year's shiur was on that one had to be an onof bidaitoi, that he had to be humble from the perspective of his own thoughts, his own mind, his own self-image. But secondly, he has to be an onof benaisof, that in his daily living he has to have this humility. And this is the great quality of humility, like we brought at the beginning, and like it states in the Parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu was onof me'od.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@yjj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.